Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. In my garage, Rangers of the Dork Forest. That's right. Now I'm in my garage. I'm Jackie Cation, and you're listening to The Dork Forest, and I am talking with a fellow Wisconsinite, fellow comedian, Kristen Lighty. Now, Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be in the forest.
In the Dork Forest. Disassociation Vacation is your new album, and it will come out in April, correct? April 26th?
Yes, it goes live April 26th.
And you're on Instagram at Kristen Lighty, L-Y-T-I-E. And Is there a Kristen Lighty website? I forgot to ask.
There is. Yep. It's just KristenLighty.com.
Catchy. Let us discuss what you enjoy in life. What is your dorkdom?
Yeah.
What do you love?
I love, number one is union organizing. That's like my life, my passion. Number two, in a close second, is Our Flag Means Death. It is my favorite show. I never understood fandoms until this show. And now I'm like, I get it. I want to be a part of it. I want to live it.
Interesting. You've never had kind of a fandom like this before? This is a new kind of fandom?
It is.
It's a sitcom on Hulu? What is it on?
It's on Max now.
Oh, is it on HBO Max?
Yeah,
I refuse to call it Max because I don't get the credit for being on HBO. So screw them and their shortening of their name. So HBO Max, Our Flag Means Death, is a sitcom, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Yep, it's two seasons. It stars Rhys Darby, and Taika Waititi.
Are they both? What happened?
You froze up. Are we okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we're all being recorded locally. This is the Riverside platform, which I both love and don't like. But I do like it because it has a lot of options post. But if Rangers hate it, feel free to email me because I'm still paying an exorbitant amount of money for Zoom. And then I might switch back, but I might not. That's right. I might not. Jackie at JackieCation.com. But yes, I will freeze, you will freeze, but we will continue to be recorded. It'll be exciting.
Oh, okay. Great. And, I just want to say my friends are really excited that I'm doing this podcast because it means I won't talk at them about this for at least another couple hours.
at least an hour. Everyone gets an hour to talk about whatever they want to talk about. Plug and play, I say. It is a sitcom with some New Zealanders, some Kiwis, correct?
It is. It is. And, you know, I feel like sitcom is just not enough for like what this show encapsulates. Yeah. Okay. It's doing so much. Like the characters are so dynamic. There's so many themes in it. And I think the biggest theme overall is just that history is fascinating and it's not the history we're taught in school. So this is a story about pirates, Blackbeard, Stede Bonnet, Zhang Yi So, the pirate queen of China. And you know, it's real people that lived, but this is kind of like a reimagining or kind of filling in some of the details that we might have lost to history.
Oh, that's hilarious and awesome. So it's essentially, it's set in pirate times.
Mm-hmm.
Like old timey pirates, not Ethiopian pirates.
The traditional
pirates. The old timey pirates where they were all pile of whitey magoos, but also people of color, never admitted in the old Errol Flynn movies. But the guy who plays, he plays the manager of Flight of the Conchords, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's Rhys Darby. Okay. Yeah, he plays Steve Bonnet. Mm-hmm.
And he's a pirate. He always wants to be a pirate or something.
He is. He's born to an incredibly wealthy family. He is sort of what the show comes to refer as soft, you know, meaning like, you know, he's not interested in macho boy things. He's very in love with like picking flowers.
He doesn't need the money.
No.
That's not why he went into pirating. He did not go into pirating for the money, which is why absolutely everyone else went into pirating, if I remember correctly, historically.
Yeah. And that's what's kind of interesting is when Stede becomes a pirate captain, he wants everyone to just be respected for their work, have a nice life, have some leisure, you know? So at first, his crew absolutely doesn't understand him. And they're like, we need to mutiny this guy because he has no idea what he's doing. But he's just trying to present a different model of living, which I find so fascinating and charming.
Right, because he's still paying them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're not making, I mean, they're not becoming rich. I mean, it might be a way that he's sort of keeping them down. Because if they did get the big money, wouldn't they all get to get their own pirate ships or retire?
You know, that would be a possibility that they would go into business for themselves. But the beauty of the show is that they come to see each other as family and like always looking out for one another. And that bond is actually, you know, more important. That's the real treasure, Jackie.
Yes, it is. Damn straight it is. Okay, so there's two seasons. Because here's a little backstory about pirating and the Dork Forest. I have done two episodes that have mostly referenced pirates. One about pirating, where a woman saw, and I cannot remember her name offhand, but she's an amazing, still listens to the show, I believe. Just a fan of the show, wanted to be on. And she saw the Johnny Depp movie, the pirate one,
mm-hmm.
that was based on the ride in Disneyland. Not Pirates of Penzance, but what's it
the
called?
Caribbean?
Any idea?
Pirates of the Caribbean?
Right. So she saw the movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, and through her fandom of pirating, she went and worked on an old-timey three-masted ship as a volunteer, realized she never wanted to pirate and did not even want to sail, and then went to London and got her PhD about pirating.
Wow. From a Johnny Depp movie.
From a Johnny Depp movie based on a ride at Disneyland. So what she told me about pirating was that it was cruel, brutal, and short, right? And that is real. And then the only other thing I know about pirating is from a Cage Baker time travel series, which is one of my favorite science fiction writers and science fiction series, the Company series. And it's about history and time travel. And it's awesome. Now, at one point, they do go back in time and meet pirates. and they are gross. So here is where Our Flag Means Death has decided that it's going to take sort of a lateral move. We're going to meet the bad guys. We're going to meet the terrible, gross people that are pirates. But we're going to meet them from the point of view of the manager from Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, with some sweetness.
Oh, man, I fucking love this. Okay. Isn't he married? I think I saw the first episode. Okay.
Yeah. So the story starts, he is married to a woman named Mary, and they don't know each other. They're not in love. They're both not thrilled with the situation. And it's, I feel it's very like dark Wisconsin humor in that on their wedding day, they're given a present of tombstones and they're both just like, oh, great.
Till death do us part.
So then, you know, Steve tries to float the idea to Mary about like, what if we lived on a ship to break the monotony? And she's like, what are you talking about? Do you find our life monotonous? I hate the sea. I don't want to go to sea. And
right,
so that
I want to live on this farm. They have like a farm or something, or
they, I don't think they work at all. They have like a mansion with two children.
Oh, like an estate.
Yeah. Yeah. They have servants and they are very well to do. So that leaves Steed to, you know, he kind of escapes in the night and leaves, but he leaves quite a bit of money
for
the
cigarettes.
Okay. Yeah. The classic standby of I'm leaving for cigarettes. So he's commissioned a full boat, and his boat is just fantastic because it's not traditional pirate at all. It's got fireplaces, chandeliers, a library, a secret hidden secret wardrobe closet. So it's very fanciful.
That's amazing. And who are his people? Does he bring anybody with him, like a servant or a friend?
Yeah, it's not really mentioned how he meets his crew. You're just kind of, you're all on the boat together. But there's Lucius, who is a man who is hired to take notes and dictate his life, you know, because Steed is going to have these great pirate adventures. So he's basically like his old-timey Instagram, I think.
Okay.
And then we have Black Pete, who is a very experienced pirate. And, you know, talks a little bit more than he's actually done, I think. The Swede is probably one of my favorite characters. He has a very thick Swedish accent and is just kind of lovable and sweet and goofy. And then there's Buttons, who is spooky. He's like Scottish and...
Okay. Buttons.
Yeah. And then there is a character named Jim, who we think is Jim, but then later on is revealed to be played by Vico Ortiz, who is a non-binary person. And Jim is not a man. And then, you know, the crew has conversations about, you know, like gender and what that means. And when it's revealed that Jim is not male, they're like, well, if you're not Jim anymore, can I be Jim? it's kind of cute and
fun.
Yeah,
you could be probably. So they're not. So it doesn't. So it literally it's talking about sort of 2024 issues in a sitcom set in ancient pirate times.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that is what you love about it. Because there's nothing not to love about that. Okay.
I love that the characters just get to be queer, non-binary, and that's not their whole story. You know, that's just like a tiny piece of who they are.
Right. As you know, as my sister once told me, she said, you know, I'm a lesbian, but that isn't even my entire identity. It's just something I'm just attracted to. I have a life. I don't want to talk to you about bisexuality. And I suppose it's the same with gender, where you don't want to talk about, you know, how I want to be presented. You know, because gender is such a big deal right now, it feels like it's the only thing anybody who presents as a woman but wants to be a they, them, talks about, right? Because it seems like a bigger deal. Because it feels like it's their own identity, but it isn't. It's gender and sexuality are so blown up. You know, every 10-year-old I meet right now is a they, them. And I genuinely believe it's because they're being sexualized and they'd like to be children for another 8 years. And they're like, if we could just treat me as a person for another 8 years and then play Mary Fuck Kill, that'd be wonderful.
I think about that a lot. And like, if I would have had that language and understanding as a preteen, like I definitely would have been that route. I went just very like masculine as a preteen because I wanted to, you know, be aligned with what I thought was powerful. So that was like punk rock and cutting off all your hair and looking very butch, you know.
Right, right. And who has all the power? Men.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to dress as a boy because they get to do better stuff than I do. And then when I want to do girl stuff, I still get to do that because I'm a girl. And they're going to treat me like a girl anyway. But if I'm dressed like a boy, maybe I'll also get some of that power that boys get. So it was just a whole thing where I was just wearing my brother's cast off. So I was constantly mistaken for a young boy. And okay, so there's only two seasons. Will there be another season?
Sadly, HBO Max has said that they will not make another season, and the fans, we were all rallying to try to get someone else to pick it up, but I don't know if it's going to happen. And, you know, the story did tie up, Steed and Ed's relationship tied up in a very sweet way. They're going to be innkeepers together, which is lovely. Okay. But, you know, there's still revenge that needs to happen for the death of Izzy Hands. And, you know, so there could be more story happening there. I would love to see Hulu pick it up.
Right. And it's, and so how many episodes per season?
There was 9 in the first one, I believe, and then 8 in the second. So that also pissed off the fandom because, like, why can't we get 9?
Right, right. So there's literally 17 episodes of this show.
I've watched them so many times, Jackie.
Okay, well, this is going to be known as a spoiler episode because we're going to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where to begin. So, there is a fandom, though. There's some sort of group of people discussing how great this show is.
Yes, I'm in about
where are you finding them?
I'm in about 10 Facebook groups from people pretty much all over the world, and they make beautiful costumes and do cosplay. They will write fan fiction, some of the horniest fan fiction I've ever seen. It's amazing.
Of course there's fan fiction.
Yeah. You know, it's just a really wonderful community. In one of the groups I wrote, like, I was just like offhandedly made a little comment about my therapist watches Our Flag Means Death. And that got about 500 likes. So
So if you're in 10 different groups, how do they break? Are they broken up geographically? Are they broken up? Are the same 100 people in each of them?
You know, there is a lot of overlap. It's there might be an order to it. I haven't noticed that. I've just seen chaos. So
So Facebook will present to you, here's another group of Our Flag Means Death, but the people who only like Jim or the people who only like Mary. Is that what it is? Like, tell me about the different groups.
Yeah.
You have 40 minutes to fill. Go.
I would say the biggest fandom divide I've seen is over Izzy Hands, one of the characters that's Blackbeard's first mate. And in the first season, Izzy was very cruel and mean and wanted to punish Steed's crew and treat them as subordinates. He really wanted to be their boss, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I did not care for Izzy Hands in season 1. And then they did a miraculous thing in season 2. They made us like Izzy Hands because at the end of season 1, there was a huge breakup between Ed and Steed. And Ed fell into addiction really hard. He was doing, it was called rhino horn, but it pretty much like cocaine, and drinking and abusing the staff and forcing them to do, abusing the crew and forcing them to like just raid and pillage when there was no reason. Like he was having them dump treasure overboard so they could go ruin another ship. And he wasn't even like attacking ships. One of the targets was a wedding. And so this crew attacks the wedding, and then it cuts really hard to them all together, kind of assessing what they did. And like, they've got their head in their head in their hands. And they're like, did that feel like too much? That feel like too much, right? So then Izzy really breaks down in that episode, and we see the softer side of him, and we see him let go of control. And that's where, you know, everyone kind of started to love Izzy then. But when there were Izzy fans like really hollering out for season one about how much they loved him, I was like, I don't think so. So that did cause quite a divide in the internet world.
Okay. So you just said that Ed and Steed are going to open an inn?
Yes.
Who's Ed?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ed is Blackbeard.
Oh, okay. So Blackbeard has decided that he would like to no longer be. And so do they fall in love?
They do, yes. So Ed and Steed are kind of fascinated by each other because Steed wants to be a pirate. And Ed, Blackbeard, is, you know, he's been doing
is
it.
Is a pirate.
He is a pirate. He's been doing it for 20 years. At one point, he says, you know, I don't even have to be on the fucking boat anymore. They see the flag and they just give up. It's not fun. I'm looking for someone doing something original, something creative. And you're doing that. You've got a library on a boat next to a fireplace. You're a lunatic. And I love it.
Right.
So they really are fascinated by each other.
Okay. So the first season is about Steed abandoning his family and making a new family on this boat.
Mm-hmm.
And he and then what are they all gay, non-binary, queer? What is it? What is happening? I don't even know what's happening. Yeah.
So it's also like they talk a lot about class and race. A lot of the episodes are their interactions in these worlds. Like one of my favorite episodes is The Best Revenge is Dressing Well. And that's where they take Blackbeard to this very fancy dinner party that's happening on a boat for some reason. I don't know why. But Nick Kroll and Kristen Schaal play characters that are very like prim and proper. And basically, Steed teaches Blackbeard about passive aggression and how these people are just as brutal as pirates. They just show it differently.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. He's like, all right, let's break down. I got, what am I doing? I'm doing episodes. Here we go. Episode one. Let's see. I'm just trying to find, because you said you had an hour on this. We're at 20 minutes. You're done talking. Tell me what's going on.
Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. Go. Plug and play, friend. Go.
Yeah. So in addition to that, like looking at class, we also get to see Blackbeard's childhood, and his mom was a servant, and she always, you know, really instilled in Blackbeard that we're just not those kinds of people, you know, the people I work for. She shows him this piece of silk and says, these are the kinds of things they have. And, you know, we don't have that. And Ed is Blackbeard, little Ed. He's like, well, why not? Why can't we have these things? And she says, it's not for us to decide. It's for God to decide. So I feel like Ed becoming a pirate, becoming Blackbeard, is kind of him saying, no, I do deserve these things and I'm going to go take them. So to me, it was really an evolution of his character and, you know, throwing off the shackles of what he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be a servant. He was supposed to be lower class. And I think that's where a lot of these pirates come from. Because in the conversation about Steed's managerial style, you know, being this very, you know, a boss that doesn't believe in a top-down model, his saying is, talk it through as a crew, you know, which actually the fandom has made so many beautiful artistic renderings of sayings. I have in my office a needlepoint that someone has done that says talk it through as a crew. Yeah, because I feel like it's so perfect for union work. Yeah. I see a lot of overlap there.
Right, right. And the fact, of course, there's an Etsy where there's needlepoint that says talk it through as a crew. That's why wouldn't there be?
Absolutely. Yeah. So another character on the ship is named Olu, and he's trying to kind of get the crew to understand what Steed is doing is actually for the benefit of all of them. So he is trying to get them to understand, like, let's not mutiny. Let's just have a nice life together and not focus on the killing so much. And we can just have a good time. And eventually, you know, the crew, once they meet Izzy Hands and see, like, how that crew runs things, they do appreciate Steed more. And they're like, we do love him, because when they're attacked by the English, and, you know, the English are trying to bring Steed to justice because he accidentally killed this guy named Nigel, who was an admiral. And he was also childhood friends with Steed and just a bully and a jerk. And so when he accidentally kills Nigel, the English admiral, the crew is like really proud of him. Like, wow, he did a murder. Hooray. But then later the English come to punish Steed for that. And there's this moment where Nigel, who was murdered, his twin brother wants revenge. He's also an English admiral. And he's like, why do these people listen to you? Why do they follow you? Why do they care? You know? And Steed jumps up and he's like, I'd like to attribute it to what does he say? It's like a person first management style. And then the whole crew says the phrase, and he's like, and we talk it through, and the whole crew goes, as a crew. And like the look of pride on Steed's face that they're a team and they're working together is just, it's so wholesome. I love it.
Oh, it's wholesome.
It is. Yeah. I mean, as much as a show about murder can be, you know.
Sure, sure. I mean, it's, yeah. So there's, so he accidentally, and is that in an early episode that he accidentally kills Nigel? And so that's sort of the arc of the first season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The show also says a lot about relationships and changing who you are as a person, because everyone in the show, it seems like, wants to change. Like Ed Blackbeard wants to try something different. Steed obviously wants to be this badass pirate. But then it also touches a little bit on addiction and recovery. Blackbeard is a nightmare of a person before he meets Steed. You know, he's just out there wreaking havoc, creating violence, hurting people for fun. And then once he meets Steed and kind of experiences the softer side of life, he really wants to believe that maybe he could change. But at the end of season one, they're supposed to run away together, but Steed decides he needs to just go home and talk to his wife and make amends with Mary so that he can, you know, move forward knowing that he's made amends with his family. You can't just leave two kids and a wife.
Right.
They have a beautiful conversation where, you know, we find out that Mary is actually now kind of dating Tim Heidecker, whose character is Doug. Yeah. And
just another local landowner guy, or?
Well, he is a painter. So Mary has created this whole new life as the Widow Bonnet, and she's a painter and she's having a fabulous time. Yeah. And you kind of get this glimpse into society of women really appreciating being widows back in the day, because they had money. They didn't have any responsibility. Mm-hmm. So they have these little like coffee clutches where they would just meet and talk and have fun. And Steed walks in at that moment to say, I'm back.
She's like, well, you just screwed up my life.
Yeah. She was pissed. But then they have a great conversation after they fake Steed's death so he can go away again.
So he can leave and she can continue to live her life.
Yes.
With the rest of his money. Okay.
Yeah. You know, she mentioned, they're talking about Doug and how much she loves him and he's really happy for her. And she says, I just hope you find this someday. And Steed says, I think I have. And Mary says, oh, what's her name? And Steed says, his name's Ed. and they have a nice little hug, and it just kind of all makes sense between them, you know?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. There's a good realization and not a historically accurate murder scene. So that is good.
Yeah. But then in that moment, you know, Steve didn't tell Ed he was going to leave and go talk to Mary. So this sends Ed Blackbeard just in this downward spiral. And that's where he,
sitcom misunderstanding.
Misunderstanding, yes. And, you know, it's pirate time, so there's no elevator to trap them in to rectify the
situation. Right, right, right. They can't get locked in like a freezer or anything.
Yeah, no common trope there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then my other favorite episode is, it's in the second season, and it's after Ed and Steed have kind of reunited, but they're still very wary of each other. Like, Steed wants to apologize, but Ed's just not hearing it. He's like, no, you just fucked off. You didn't care about my feelings. And they end up on this island together accidentally with Ed's friends, who are two women pirates that are a couple that live together. And then they have just like this really sweet little makeup talk where, Ed is trying still to like push Steed away. And Steed says something like, I just love being near you. I love breathing the same air as you. And it's so earnest that the other two like hear it and just start laughing. And they're like, oh, you're so earnest. I bet you haven't even had sex yet. And like they're teasing them. And it unifies them. Yeah, it is very cute. Yes.
Well, that sounds great. I mean, it's so I'm just literally just scrolling episodes, and there's something that's Blackbeard saves Steed from the Spanish Navy or something. And then,
Is
that an early episode?
It is. That's how they first meet. Steed is out pirating. He accidentally gets double crossed by Spanish Jackie's husband. Spanish Jackie is played by Leslie Jones, and she has 20 husbands, and one of them is like, oh yeah, I know a guy that will buy this stuff from you. We'll go meet them. And then it's just the Spaniards that are going to attack them. And they run Steed through with a sword. And, you know, he's hung also. And Blackbeard appears. And I got to say, Taika Waititi is a very handsome man. And then he's all in leather. It's like, what are you doing? This is too much.
Right.
But he appears, cuts Steed down, saves him. And then in the next episode, you know, Steed is like shirtless in bed and Blackbeard is like watching over him, taking care of him. And it's a little steamy.
It sounds a little steamy. And but Blackbeard takes over his ship too. And that's how we meet Izzy Hands as well.
Yeah. So they kind of combine crews. And that is cute because later on it's kind of like co-captain kind of feels like two dads for the crew a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're all working together, and that's how
they now they have a tiny fleet. They have two ships. Is that right?
You know, they never really talk about what happened to Blackbeard's boat. Although, you know, I'm sure someone from the fandom knows and will message me.
Right, right. Yes.
But yeah, Steed's boat is called the Revenge. So they're all on that boat.
Oh, okay. And then how do they, there's two dads, there's two captains, and they're on the boat, and then they go and they meet, this is after the Spanish thing with Jackie and the 20 husbands or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, I did see this episode, the one where they pretend that they're a lighthouse.
Oh, yes, that is fun. That's the Spanish are coming back to take revenge on them, and they're not sure what they're going to do. And there was, with the fog and the moon being what they thought would happen on the first, they thought they would be hidden by the fog, but then Blackbeard miscalculated the days, so it wasn't going to work for them. So The lighthouse reference actually comes from a painting that Mary made for Steed when they were getting married. Because in their ceremony, the priest said, you should be a lighthouse for each other, always beckoning to each other. But that was kind of interesting because Ed was talking about, no, lighthouses repel you so you don't crack up on the rocks, which is kind of interesting.
That's what interested me. I was like, oh, right. The point of a lighthouse is not to go toward it. It's to go away from it because that's where the rocks are being kept. And that was actually some seafaring history that we got right there. And it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes, that is interesting.
And that was also one of the first times that both crews really worked together and pulled something off because they created like a fire on the very, the crow's pit. They put a candle up there with a mirror and then swung it around so that it gave the look of a lighthouse.
Right. They created like a lantern in up top in that crow's nest, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. And then made it. Okay. That's hilarious.
And then Wee John, who is like a giant man, his character would yell out, whoa. And then they would also stop. They would do it again.
And then the Spanish went away.
They did.
They were
okay.
Well, that solved that problem. The next thing that's highlighted in the Wikipedia is some sort of pyramid scheme in episode 5.
Oh, yes. This is the Best Revenge is Dressing Well episode where they go to that fancy party. Yeah. And it's such a great statement on how you treat working people, because this is about the service industry of the ship, kind of listening to everyone's gossip, everyone's rumors, and utilizing that information so that when Olu and Frenchie come on board, they are, they are black men, and mm-hmm. they try to treat them as like, oh, you're servants. And they're like, no, mm-hmm. he is a prince, and he is a prince of Egypt. And they put on this whole show, like, he is very wealthy, but he needs help in this new business venture. And if you want to buy a part of the pyramid, you can get in on this deal. So then they
start. Is it an actual pyramid that they think they're buying into because they're from Egypt?
Yes.
Okay.
So then everyone at the party is secretly brought to this back office with Olu, the character who is the prince that they think, and they basically give him all their money. And they're like, I can't wait to be in this business venture with you. And then when they leave, they give all the money to the staff who were working at that party.
Oh, they tip them. They tip them out. Oh, very nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't forget to tip the wait staff, you guys.
Yeah.
Wow. So the next episode, Blackbeard makes Steed stab him?
Yeah, it's a little homoerotic in its overtones. He wants to show Steed how you can be stabbed. And if you lean to the left, you'll miss all the vital organs. So he's like, stab me. And Steed is like, no, I can't. I don't want to. Don't make me. But then...
I can see the episode without seeing the episode. Hilarious.
That's pretty much it. And it's just, like them getting closer, getting to know each other more. And, Ed teaching Steed about like what pirate life is like.
Okay. That's interesting. And then there's something here. The Kraken. Did the Kraken kill Blackbeard's father?
Yes. So that is the story Blackbeard tells. But in actuality, Ed kills his father. And so
Ed killed his own dad.
Yeah. That's something that he reveals to Steed later on. He hasn't told anyone about this, but mm-hmm. his dad mm-hmm. used to beat his mom and was just a horrible man, would come home drunk and didn't respect the family or help them in any way. And Ed decided that he was going to take it into his own hands and killed his father, which is part of the reason Ed feels he's unlovable and has to live this life.
Okay. Right. What's happening with Izzy and Jackie?
So Jackie... she owns a bar on the Republic of Pirates with her 20 husbands and has a pretty nice life. She is a very powerful woman that pretty much runs that island. And Izzy You know, he was Blackbeard's first mate. He's kind of jealous about Steed coming in and, you know, really changing Blackbeard's point of view, changing how he lives his life. He wants, you know, the mean old Blackbeard back. He thinks he does until, you know, the first episode of season two, he gets that Blackbeard back. Blackbeard cuts off his toes and makes him eat them and, you know, just gets beaten down and then realizes, you know, maybe what Steed was pitching wasn't so bad.
Right. Yeah, totally. So does is he in love with Jackie?
No, Jackie, Izzy is in love with Ed.
Izzy's in, well, because Izzy makes his way to Spanish Jackie's and makes a proposal. Not a wedding proposal, obviously.
Yes, no. He wants to give up Steed to the English.
Oh, okay.
For that murder that happens. So he goes and finds Jackie and tries to, you know, arrange a deal where they would turn Steed over but get Blackbeard back. And that would be a win for Izzy because then he'd have his boy back.
Okay. And do we lose Jim in this episode?
No, Jim is still around, but Jim does confront Spanish Jackie because one of Spanish Jackie's husbands killed, her dad. So Jim, I should say their dad, Jim is on a mission that was, you know, perpetrated by her grandmother for revenge. Grandma taught her how to throw knives, how to,
Oh, it's her actual grandmother, the nun?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Grandma the nun taught Jim all about how to murder. And then, you know, they do meet up eventually. And grandmother to Jim is like, how many of them did you kill? And Jim is like, one. And the grandmother is just like, what? One?
That's not enough.
That's not enough murder.
Yeah. And who's Calico Jack?
Calico Jack is a fantastic character played by Will Arnett, who is essentially, it's not like overly stated, but sort of an ex of Blackbeard. And so he shows up to kind of be part of that plot to, you know, bring Steed to the English and, you know, get Blackbeard back to the guy he was before, that rough and tumble party guy. So he shows up and it's just like the ex from hell. You know, he wants to drink all night. He wants to party. He's just disrespectful of everyone's personal space and needs. And the crew is all with him like, yeah, this guy seems fun. Yeah, we until he accidentally uses his whip to kill Carl, who is the bird friend of Buttons, the spooky guy. Carl. Right. Yeah, Buttons can talk to Carl. Carl's wife is Olivia. So when he, Calico Jack, accidentally kills Carl, then the crew is like, this guy's a bummer and he needs to go.
This guy's a bummer. They don't avenge the bird?
Buttons places a hex on him. And he might have been struck by a cannonball by the English.
Okay. Fair enough. And so then the next thing, an act of grace is highlighted, which is an actual pirate thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite episodes as well. That's where Steed and Ed are reunited because Steed is going to be taken in by the English. But Ed is with Calico Jack at the time, and he rushes back to that boat and says, wave the white flag. He realizes what's going on. He kind of like sums up the whole plan, and he throws himself in front of the whole situation to save Steed. And it's really beautiful and sweet. And like right before this episode, they are tied up and they're face down on the deck. And the English are like really trying to threaten them. And Ed puts his foot towards Steed. So like they're touching and it's so sweet. People have gotten tattoos of that frame of like the foot touching the foot. I'm not going to lie. I've thought
there's
about
a fandom. There's a fandom going on here. A full on amazing, like, because there's only 17 episodes to know and love it that much. So, but what, because the Act of Grace was some sort of weird, you could get away with piracy before a certain date. It was sort of like a pardoning kind of thing.
Yeah. So this, the act of grace, I don't know if it's historically accurate, but the way they portray it is that you'll be forgiven for your pirating crimes if you work in service to the king for 10 years.
Oh, they do that. That's how it's done. Okay.
So their plan was to go do this work together. And at this point, Ed was kind of broken a little bit. Like, he didn't seem to have any fight in him. And Steed was like, no, we can escape. Let's escape. And then Ed kind of snaps back into it and is like, yeah, let's escape. Let's do it. And that's where Steed decides, I need to go make things right with Mary, which totally devastates Blackbeard.
Okay. And then that's when
he shaves his beard.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
Right.
It caused major waves. Steed did not
that
like
is right. And then he goes home and he finds that his wife is pretending to be widowed, and then they make her widowed legally by pretending his own death. Mm-hmm. And so Steed and so at the end of this season, which I think is episode plenty of episodes left. Steed and his crew have taken up residence on the Republic of Pirates and are working at Spanish Jackie's
to save up
money for a ship because they lost their ship. Is that how they lose their ship to the British?
That is the beginning of season two. They actually don't lose their ship to the British because Blackbeard decides all the crew members who are a little too soft, he's going to ditch. So he leaves them on an island and then he takes off with it's Jim, Frenchie, Fang. I think that's everyone. And Ivan.
That is season two. Look at that. Episode one. Yeah. So he takes them off and they go to the Republic of Pirates to get some money so they can get a new ship.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do, but Spanish Jackie is not a very good boss, and she's charging them room and board as they're working. So they don't really make any money, and so they try to steal from Spanish Jackie. And, of course, Spanish Jackie catches them because of this one character named Prince Ricky, who's kind of like, he's royalty, he really admires Steed, but he's absolutely a tourist, he wants to be a pirate. But, like, his heart's not in it. And he's very dismissive and careless with the feelings and thoughts of the rest of the crew. So he wants to leave a lime Ricky at the crime scene to be, like, a signature. And, of course, that gets them caught. So when they're caught, Spanish Jackie is like, you know, maybe she's going to kill them. She's not sure. But then Jen, who is the pirate queen, who we don't know is the pirate queen. We think she is a soup seller. She shows up and is like, I'll buy them from you. I have money. And Leslie Jones's character, Spanish Jackie, is like, aren't you the soup bitch? And she's like, I'm the money bitch. And
so she buys this fancy treasure and the crew?
Yes. And then at the end of the episode, it's revealed that she is actually the pirate queen that bent China to her will, and they work for her now.
And that is a real character, too, this Zheng Yi Zhao?
Yep, Zheng Yi Zhao. I've been meaning to pick up a book on her because she seems fascinating.
Right.
So
name of her ship is called the Red Flag.
Yeah.
Hilarious. It says that Ed, who is Blackbeard, has some sort of suicidal ideation.
He does.
Which I think if you're a pirate, you have suicidal ideation. Like, you don't become a pirate because you want to live. You become a pirate because you're like, I'm going to just try to be as rich as I can. And if I die, screw it.
Yeah, so, I'm going to get mine.
I'm going to try to get mine. And let that be a thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So his suicidal ideation is you're not sure if it's real or imagined as the story is unfolding, but he is essentially on an island with his former captain. So there is like this sense of mentorship happening in their conversations that you can sense. And that's where Ed reveals, you know, I would really like to be an innkeeper. I would like to run an inn. I think that's what my life should be. And then the other captain, who is kind of like his spiritual guide, because they call it the gravy boat, but it's actually like purgatory. So they're up on this cliff, and Ed realizes he can't make these changes because he doesn't love himself and he doesn't think anyone can love him. So his former captain throws a rock over the cliff that is attached to his waist. And it, essentially, he is the captain. He is himself. He is the whole scenario. So he is throwing himself over the cliff because he thinks he can never be loved. But then once he is in the water and about to drown, he has this vision of Steed coming to him as a mermaid. And it's amazing. It's like a merman, I should say.
Why not? Why not? Right?
It's just taking everything that's like tough about pirates and totally turning it like a 180 and making it all about love and beauty.
But I did see that Blackbeard kills Izzy, right? Blackbeard shoots and kills Izzy?
No, actually, that is in the end. They're fighting with the English because so Zheng tried to make a deal with the English to say, hey, if you give us a living wage, we won't be pirates anymore. We won't fight you because a fifth of your treasure winds up on the ocean floor anyway. How about we just make a truce? And so this Prince Ricky guy is like, yeah, we'll do that. And, you know, as a gift, I'm going to give each of you this beautiful grandfather clock to put on your boat. which is a scam. It's totally a bomb. All the boats blow up and everyone is out a boat, right? No one knows what to do.
Right.
So then they pull the crew together to fight back against the end of piracy. And unfortunately, Izzy is in the line of fire during the end and he does die.
Oh, that is weird because it says here Blackbeard threatens to shoot. Oh, because he says that he has a crush on Steed.
I took us way too far ahead. This is the beginning of season two. Ed is being an absolute maniac and like really, really disrespecting and abusing the shipmates while Steed is gone because he didn't know where Steed went when he went to see Mary. So Izzy is the one that's like, you need to stop torturing us just because you can't get over Steed Bonnet. And then Ed shoot him in the leg.
Oh, there we go. That's right. Mm-hmm. There we go. And so then the team gets the crew and everybody gets bought by the Chinese queen lady of the pirates. Mm-hmm. And then they go, Lucius comes back.
Yeah, everyone was so excited to see him. It was really wonderful because in season one, Ed is beginning to spiral and turn back to that mean, dark person. And he pushes Lucius off the ship. And we don't know what happened to him until that episode, which is Lucius is my favorite character. So that was really hard. It's like,
aw. I love Ed. Lucius is the scribe, right?
He is. Yes.
Okay. And then it says in this one, they're all on the ship, the Chinese queen ship, and the Chinese queen has feelings for Olawende, who played the Egyptian, prince.
Yes. And, you know, previously, Jim and Olu had a bit of a relationship and, you know, they were really there for each other and then decided, you know, I mean, they did have a little fling, but then they decided they were more like platonic love. And then Jim found a partner in Archie. So
who's Archie?
Archie is a new shipmate that came on in season two. They're a New Zealander and they were part of like the Blackbeard Brutal crew.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Okay, so they now we're at the innkeeper is the episode number 3 of season 2. And you can't get so now we're Steed's looking for Blackbeard, I think is what's happened. And he's being Benjamin Hornigold.
Yeah, Hornigold is his former captain that he's kind of having this vision about. And Hornigold is guiding him.
Oh, and that's when the mermaid thing happens. That's when he throws himself off the cliff and the rock and the merman thing. And, oh, and then Steed becomes a bird. Buttons becomes a bird.
Yeah. And that is kind of, I love that episode so much because that's the whole question of whether people can change or not. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, Ed is throwing it around in his head, like, can I be loved? Am I lovable? Can I change? And then he sees Buttons become a bird, and he's like, fuck yeah, people can change. Amazing. And so and he runs back to Steed and is like, you know, excited to make amends to the crew and apologize for all the abuse he put them through. And there's this one conversation they have, because the crew is all like, no, we don't trust Ed. We don't want to be anywhere near him, which felt a very similar to sometimes what happens in comedy. And then Steed is like, we don't throw people away, which is a very abolitionist statement. And, you know, something I struggle with sometimes is the feeling of like, what is restorative justice? What is punishment? And I just think it's really beautiful that this group of people were willing to work together to move past something, to forgive and work through trauma.
Wow.
And bring Ed back into the fold.
Yes, because, and then they make, it says they make a fake leg for Izzy.
Oh, yeah. That is such a beautiful thing that the community does for Izzy, because at that point he is, you know, he's really been ravaged by Blackbeard. He thought the relationship he wanted didn't turn out for him at all. He was really abused. He was drinking himself to death. He lost that leg because of the gunshot. And so he was just kind of like hobbling all over the ship and like just so drunk. He was muttering to himself. And like right before the rest of the crew kind of notices that, they were all squabbling. And then they saw Izzy like kind of like army crawl on his elbows, drunk and just like saying stuff like, we all die alone. Nothing matters anyway. And then they all kind of stop and they're like, whoa, we need to help our friend. He's really fucked up. So they make a fake leg for him from the masthead of the ship that was a unicorn. And they leave him a note with the leg that says, you know, for the new unicorn. And then Izzy cries a little. And it's like this opening of his heart and realizing like these people do love me.
Yeah. And the next one seems to be some sort of party where Blackbeard and Steed get to do it.
Yeah. This is Calypso's birthday, and it starts with the crew talking about how they really haven't had a party in a while. So they throw this party for Calypso's birthday, but it's interrupted by Ned Lowe, who is played by Balky from Perfect Strangers, which is kind of wild to see. Yeah.
That is wild.
And Ned Lowe is just this terrible asshole who wants to torture people. He makes music from torturing people, and he's really just a shit boss to his crew. And so when they get on the Revenge and start to attack, Steed has this way of kind of undermining Ned Lowe and rallying and organizing Ned's crew to mutiny him. Because he's talking with one of Ned Lowe's crew who's named Hellcat Maggie. And he mentions something about like, oh, that's a beautiful name. And Ned is just like, do your work, shut up, you know, be a better employee. And Steed says, oh, that's your problem. You only see her as your employee and not the full person she is. And so then the crew kind of like starts to talk amongst themselves about how much Ned sucks. And they end up freeing the crew of the Revenge. And Steed kills Ned. And then the crew of Ned Lowe's former ship all take off together and talk about profit sharing on the way out. So, I mean, that's another reason I love this show. Just like the union undertones are so good.
Right. There's union undertones. There's all of the stuff that's happening. It's like, it's a revisionist history of the people who were marginalized during all of this time. What if they were marginalized, but they also continued to live their fucking lives? What about them? Yeah, because you know they did. I mean, there were gay people, there were queer people, there were lesbians, there was transgender, there was all the things that exist today weren't invented today, right?
Absolutely. So, I didn't even find out I loved history until I was 19 and it almost flunked out of college. I mean, high school.
Oh, right. Because history. Yeah. History is, I loved history because I only read historical fiction as a child. Mm. And I liked some history and history classes and social studies. But historical fiction, like every month when I was a kid, I wanted to be, for a long time, I wanted to live in Ireland. For a long time, I wanted to live in China. For a long time, I wanted to live in Malaysia. And I was like, I want to live in the deepest Africa. That wasn't quite as positive because I wanted to be Tarzan's boy. Not as woke as you might have wanted out of you. I mean, it wasn't as awakened. I was a child. Anyway, so just two more episodes, though. There's like, they essentially, they go to the Republic of Pirates and figure out that the British have taken over.
Mm-hmm.
And
Prince Ricky,
and they're doing fine, but at the end of it, Prince Ricky kind of takes over, and then in the next episode, Jackie gets her bar back, and then
so Jackie has all of her husband's poison trained so that when Zhang, Steed, and Ed come in to make this like heroic rescue with their swords pulled, they march in and Steve goes, oh, there's a lot of them in here. But then because they've all been not knowingly drinking poison, they all kind of collapse and die. And it's a hooray moment.
But, and it's a happy ending, you guys. And then somebody gets married. Things happen.
Yeah, Ed and Steed decide that they're going to give up the pirate life and run an inn together. They found this abandoned old shack that they're going to fix up. And then the rest of the crew takes off with Zhang. They're going, and that's why we need a third season, because we need to see what Zhang is like as a leader.
Yeah.
Because she's amazing. There is one episode where, you know, she conquers a ship and the captain of the conquered ship refuses to believe that it was a woman who conquered him.
Right.
And she's just so chill about it. She's like, this must be embarrassing for you. I'm so sorry. it's just wonderful acting.
Oh, that's so great. And yeah, and it's such an inclusive kind of, like, there were a lot of different races represented and a lot of different people. Is it produced and directed all in New Zealand? Is it made in New Zealand?
It is shot in New Zealand. They did a lot of the filming there. I saw, you know, a little bit behind the scenes stuff. It was really interesting to watch. It's just such a beautiful place. It makes me really want to visit there. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I do feel like there was a nod to Mad Max because of Ed's costume. And also, like, Ed really tries not to kill people, but leave them in situations where they might die or they will probably die, which is something Mad Max did as well.
Okay.
So given that was an Australian movie, I don't know if that's a nod to that or maybe just a fun little winky thing.
Or just a thing that happened, because sometimes you don't want to be responsible for their death, but it turns out you're responsible for their death if you leave them. I'm going to leave you on this little fun fact about history. The reason why horse stealing was punishable by death was because if you stole somebody's horse, you would essentially murdered them.
Oh, yeah. They couldn't get anywhere. Yeah,
they couldn't get anywhere, and they were trapped without all their items. Like, it's not like you left their stuff with them. So that's why it was punishable by death.
That makes sense.
Kristen Lighty, we finally got it together. All I needed to do was just put the right nickel in the right slot. At minute 20, I may delete where I just go, come on.
Yeah.
Out at me.
Sometimes I find it hard to just blah, all at once without a prompt. So I appreciate
so I'm glad
you facilitating
that I was there.
Me.
Yeah. I'm glad that I was there. So will you be cosplaying? Will there be a thing?
You know, if I had the talent, I would absolutely make the black beard, black leather, one-sleeved outfit. I don't know if I, like, am romantically attracted to Ed or I want to be Ed, you know? I don't know.
Right. Maybe both.
Maybe both.
You can never tell.
Yeah.
All right, so April 26th, Disassociation Vacation comes out. It's a new comedy album with Kristen Lighty. If you go to at Kristen Lighty, it'll be in the notes. It's also kristenlighty.com. Stand-up comic, great. And union organizer. So she's on the right side of history, you guys. So thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?